Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
College football is upside down. Well, a little bit. We'll explain as we get into the Dog Report. Talk about the Dogs' win over Kentucky. DJ Shockley's going to join us as well from Fox 5. Here in about 15 minutes, we'll get his thoughts on the Falcons as they get ready for the Bills. And there's some guy talk coming up. Mike and I were just discussing amongst ourselves this story with Mark Sanchez. We'll share our thoughts on it coming up, man. But it's just weird, and you know, people are asking, all right, what about his broadcast career? I think he needs to be worrying about these charges before he worries about his broadcast career.
And they keep going up,
yeah,
seemingly by the hour up there in Indianapolis.
So, Mike, we'll dive into it, give you our thoughts, and kind of break things down as to what we know. Again, alleged. Not been proven guilty, but he has been charged, and again, now it's a felony, or at least one of the counts is a felony. 404-726-0929. If you don't know what we're talking about, stay tuned. We will fill you in. You had a great weekend, man. I will say, going down there to Tallahassee.
Other than the outcome.
Well, it's always about the journey, though. The journey is what it's about. It's, I don't go to these games. I don't go right. I want to see a team win. My team win. But ultimately, it's about the journey. Hell, we went to Carolina. It's raining like cats and dogs. Right. We're in raincoats, and we see the grenade throw from Mariota. It was about the journey.
No, it was great, man. We had a great time. Tailgating was great. I got a buddy, Kyle, that just does, you know, one of those some people live for the tailgate.
They do.
I believe a tailgate is like a boat. The best in the world is someone else's because I don't want to deal with the cleaning and all that stuff. But we went over there and he just had gourmet stuff and wings and a whole shebang and, you know, all the only problem was somebody from Miami had gotten access to the lot 14, which is the big lot between the college town, like Florida State's version of the Battery and Doak Campbell Stadium. So within earshot of us, it was basically a pit bull fest.
Oh.
So it's Dale. And so
they had the big speakers.
And the music is like, you know, you ever been on Northside?
Oh, yeah.
We walk by, it's like, I don't know how, you got to find a moderate volume.
Yeah.
I mean, and Day Day, this isn't an old guy thing. I just never understood. And I park sometimes now over by the church across the street on Northside. I just don't understand how you can dig that vibe when you literally, your brain is bleeding from the volume that is coming.
You can't understand.
I mean, they had subwoofers the size of a Volkswagen, but they had a really cool setup. Give the folks from the U credit. They were throwing it down, but they had to run the hurricane siren every 5 minutes. So everybody in Florida State wanted to strangle these guys. That aside, great food, great fun. And then, you know, it's just, if anybody's been to Tallahassee, and it's like, I think you could say this about so many colleges, so many campuses, certainly Georgia, Auburn, anyone, just beautiful people. Great looking folks having a great time, and for the most part, no issues. Yeah, a little bit of trash talk, but look, Florida State fans had nothing to say. That game was pretty much kaput, you know, like 5-10 minutes into the third quarter.
No doubt. I mean, they put up 3, whoop-dee-doo, and then it's, you know, 28-3 going into the fourth quarter, even though Florida State scores 19 points.
The only thing is, and this is something we were having conversations with someone, there's a really cool guy, I was telling Carl, he's a retired judge from Duval, from Jacksonville.
Duval!
And his daughter is like a prosecutor, so it's almost like it would be like an NBC, like, drama or sitcom. I guess you can make it either way.
Yeah.
But he's a huge fan. So we finally got a chance because we met at the Alabama because I got new seats this year. And I gave him the app and everything. He goes, man, he goes, you and Carl are a trip. He loves the show. And so when I saw him walking down the aisle, he goes, hey, man. Anyway, so we say, here comes the judge. But it was really interesting. He was of the same opinion as me. Is this your lot in life if you're Florida State? And this goes for many schools. You know, where does Georgia Tech go with Haynes King? I think they've got somebody they believe in coming up next. But are you going to have to deal with a transfer portal quarterback every year? What is your culture? I think Miami's building a culture, augmenting it with guys like Beck. Kirby's got a culture. Ohio State's got a culture. But for Florida State, what is our culture?
Yeah.
You know, is it Cheez-It Bowl this year? Anyway, a lot of more questions and answers after the game.
No, it's fair. And they're 0-2 in the ACC, and it's a fair question, even after the Alabama win. It really means nothing now, because as good as that felt, the problem is you needed to build upon it. And this is one of those games. If they would have beat Miami, who, you know, now I think is the best team in the country, and it's not just about Saturday night, they've been the most complete team. That gets us to the dog report. Dogs beat Kentucky 35-14. Gunnar Stockton 15-23, 196 yards, touchdown and a pick. He did rush for 48 yards. But here's the thing. This dog offense is not dynamic. It doesn't throw the ball down the field enough. We've seen them now through five games, and you're going, okay, they're good. They're not great. And the difference with Miami right now, whether you want to hear it or not, is Carson Beck. Beck was with the Dogs last year, and remember, he had the most drops in the SEC. Even when he was good, it looked bad because his receivers let him down. Now he's playing with dynamic receivers, Mike, which the Dogs did not have last year. Some of those guys are still here, but this receiving core is better. The bottom line is, are you going to have buyer's remorse? Because if Miami goes to the national championship with Carson Beck, Mike, this is what the Dogs thought they were getting last year. And look, for whatever reason, they said, hey, we're moving on. He's in a good spot. They're in a good spot. But the bottom line for me is when I watch Gunnar Stockton, he's not playing as at a higher level right now than Carson Beck is.
Now, two things. And Chris Hayes, I'm about to retweet this at Mike Bell ATL. He just did a video link. He's a big Georgia super fan who does a lot of video. He got, I guess, some free time. But he was showing Bobo really doing a decent job. You know, Bobo always gets the heat. He's a lightning rod.
He does. He does.
Like any OC anywhere. But he does a breakdown of Bobo basically scheming guys open for Gunnar to throw to, and Gunnar just not seeing it. So whether it's, you know, guys that are wide open down the field and he's looking elsewhere, but there are a number of plays, and he's showing a number of pieces of video. He shows a couple from the Alabama game, moves it up to Kentucky, where this is where Gunnar has to, he's got to process quickly.
The pick against Kentucky was a bad pick.
Right. I mean, he's just got to – Gunnar needs to be better. Now, here's the thing, and to Carl's point, you know, Gunnar is now finally starting for Georgia, and he had a small sample size and a high-pressure situations last year, starting with, you know, the SEC championship and then the quarterfinal game against Notre Dame. But then you throw to, like, Beck had more time under his belt. So Beck, you know, whatever the arm issue was, he's back, he's healthy. He's playing like an upperclassman who sees everything. He's got better athletes. He's got a better offensive line. So I'm just going to say two things can be true. You know, Georgia, you know, if Carson was here, is he struggling? Because he's surrounded by much better talent, I think, than what Georgia has. Maybe not the wide receivers. I think Georgia's got the receivers that Beck needed last year. They weren't there.
Yeah, and the comment you made, it's the similar one you made earlier, and it just kind of makes you scratch your head. What Mike is saying is Miami's a better team than Georgia. And many of you are like, wait a minute, how? Because Georgia out-recruits Miami. They have consistently over the last 5 or 6 years.
But they're in the mix. So Georgia's 1 or 2, Miami's 4 or 5. I mean, and then you augment it, as we said. The problem you had this year is Georgia lost a lot of players on defense. The secondary is still a work. I mean, to be polite, it's a work in progress. Schumann maybe's miscast as the offensive coordinator. Offensive coordinator, Bobo. I think, you know, you're always harder on Bobo than maybe you should be. I think Gunner's got to be better. Had you stayed with Beck, are the results the same, or is Beck going to be squished? Does Beck get – because he's not going to run the football.
No, but he's not running it in Miami. He's just sitting back there slinging that thing.
He's processing, delivering the football on schedule.
And Mike, to say that the Dogs lost a lot of guys, they lose guys every year now to the NFL.
But maybe as dog fans, you got to just understand that with the transfer portal and the NIL thing, you're just never going to have the depth you had in the 21-22. And those defenses, as we talked about with Mike Griffith last week, those are historically good defenses.
Yeah.
And also, think about all the young guys on offensive line right now out of position. Too, you got to shuffle.
It's just interesting. We had a caller call in earlier. You can chime in at 404-726-0929. He said the offense at Georgia is boring. That's part of the problem. And then he talked about why don't they have these elite wide receivers like the Ohio States, like the LSUs. This is true. They're putting guys at that position in the league being you know, drafted high in the first round. It's not necessarily not true. Alabama has done this consistently, and they've got two more guys, by the way, that you just saw that it's probably going to happen to. My thing is not about now. It's about, is this offense dynamic enough at the quarterback position to win a national championship? And you can't compare Stetson Bennett because Stetson Bennett delivered. I don't know if Carson Beck's going to get there. But, Mike, he's playing better than anybody else right now, and that's why I think he is the best quarterback. And the Julian Sayin kid, this is the reason why I like Miami right now over Ohio State.
Yeah,
he's better than Julian Sayin's playing right now.
The game in Washington, I know it's a tough road game going cross country. They looked okay, you know, Ohio State. You know, and Texas, beating Texas in week one now, it's I don't know what to make because Texas – we'll get into that, and I really look forward to talking to DJ Shockley and get what he thinks and get his take on Arch, because it's not like everything Arch Manning does is terrible.
No,
he's made
not.
Some really good throws. He's made some really great plays, but unfortunately, I don't think Sark's helping him out with the play calling, the lack of balance. They quit on the run game down there. But getting back to Georgia, I just think Georgia fans, and Connor Riley said it last week, he felt the ceiling this year was not a championship, was not even getting to the semifinals for Georgia.
Let me say this, though, about Texas, because this is simple if you watch them enough. They can't block anybody up front right now. And if Florida's able to get six sacks, okay, and Arch gets hit nine times or whatever he got hit, you know, they call them quarterback hits, even when the ball's gone. Mike, when he had time, he delivered the ball. This goes for anybody in college football. Hell, we talk about it in the NFL all the time. If you can't protect, I don't care how good your quarterback is. Mm. So this is part of the dilemma on top of the fact that the Sark thing is looming over their heads where you get in these games and, you know, he's 4-for-10 or whatever, 4-for-8 in these games against SEC top 10 teams. Bottom line is, Mike, they're not good up front, and that's the concerning thing. It's why they are out of the top 25, but they have a path to get there. They've got four more ranked teams they're playing, including coming to Athens. Handle business? Right. That'll handle itself. But my concern is everybody saw the blueprint this weekend, and if you feel like Florida showed you how to beat them, then you're going to attack that O-line.
But here's the thing. I mean, Georgia and Florida both put a ton of guys in the NFL. Texas had more high-profile guys, including dudes going in the first round and higher because their offensive line was perceived to be better than Georgia's. But to you, your point about the defense and what they got size, the athleticism of the Gators, that is a scary proposition for the same reasons. Georgia's got guys that, you know, look, I thought in the second half they tightened things up against Bama. Unfortunately, you know, when you needed to get that yard, when you needed to make that conversion, your freshman got exposed and got blown up.
Yeah. Gunnar Stockton's thrown for 300 yards one time. That was against Tennessee. He had to.
Made a beautiful throw. That throw stands a test of time, but conversely, he missed throws against Alabama.
Yep.
He missed some deep throws against Kentucky. So him and Bubba got to get in the film room and figure that out.
No doubt. 404-726-0929. Where are you guys at on this?
And Lagway, by the way, just to bring in one more quarterback, that's good Lagway. We've seen bad Lagway. That's when Lagway's dialed in.
But his receivers are healthy. For the first time, they didn't have this at LSU. That's why they struggled offensively, and he was trying to do too much. He threw, what, four picks?
Yep.
He didn't do that Saturday. He didn't have to because his guys were getting open. That's a dangerous game now all of a sudden. And I'm not telling you Georgia's not better, but I looked at that Florida game like, okay, if these dudes show up, it's going to be a different Saturday afternoon. Hey, we got more to get to. DJ Shockley's going to join us from Fox 5. We'll get his thoughts on this and the Falcons as well. Stay right there.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We're going to get a chance to talk to our boy, DJ Shockley. Fox 5, you get a chance to watch him. He's on the sideline for Dog Broadcast as well. And of course, was drafted by our Falcons. He's got a rich tradition here in the Atlanta area with his pops and all the things that have happened with DJ Shockley. One of our favorite dudes, man. And Shock, we certainly appreciate you jumping on with us today, man. Want to start with the Dogs, and then I want to get to the Falcons because they had the bye. But first and foremost, your impressions of where the Dogs are right now coming off of the win against Kentucky. Where are you at with the offense? Your concerns, if you have any, with the Dogs right now?
Fellas, what up, man? I appreciate you guys having me on. Always a good time when I get to come on with you. And you know what? I think it's been a mixed bag, to be honest. I think we've seen flashes of things like you like. Then you've seen stuff where you're like, man, what is happening here? Then you have lulls throughout ball games. Sometimes you don't start fast. They started fast versus Kentucky, but they had some lulls throughout. And when it comes to the offense, I think it's kind of the similar thing. And I've talked to Kirby about it. It's been well documented. I think the passing game has to be better if Georgia wants to go to the places where they want to go. I think Gunner is starting to, what we call it, hey, just let it rip, because he had some moments this year where you like, you got dudes wide open, you got dudes running through seams, you got big plays out there, and then, you know, he kind of takes the conservative route and takes off or hands it off on an RPO or something. And I think that's kind of been the MO of Gunner to start this season is, he doesn't want to make a mistake. And I've been there. When you know, you got the ball in your hand finally, it's your show, and you don't want to do anything to hurt the offense. I think that's where Gunner was early in the year. And I think coming into last week, I know this for a fact, they told him, you have to take some risks. So from talking to a few people, they weren't overly upset about the interception. Obviously, you don't want to throw an interception, but they were glad that he actually took the risk as opposed to not, you know, holding on to it or take it off and running because he was afraid of making a mistake. So I think he's starting to get better at, all right, if I see something, I got to let it rip.
Shock, we were looking at a breakdown that somebody did, and I want to say it's one of the Dog fan sites, basically comparing Munkin's playbook and the crossover, a lot of screens. Do we look at Munkin and we put him up on a pedestal? Is it overblown because it just seems like things were better, or is just Gunner just can't do what Stetson was doing?
I think you got to look at who's playing the position. As we both know, Stetson was a gunslinger. Stetson was a dude that didn't care about making mistakes. He had those moments in the game where you're about to pull out your hair and you're like, all right, that's cool. And I think it's the opposite when you got Gunner. Gunner is not the I don't say he's a risk taker that Stetson was. So I think that's the biggest difference in some of those situations is Stetson don't mind throwing an interception. He don't mind throwing it into double coverage. He's going to give his guys a chance. And I think Gunner's starting to get there. But to start this year, he has been way more conservative. And one thing about Georgia's offense is they use the nouns and the bubbles as outlets in the RPO game. So there may be a light or heavy box, and if it's a heavy box and you don't like it, he just rips it out there to try to pick up 3 or 4 or 5 yards, and that's just kind of out. So it looks like they're throwing a lot of them. Yeah, they do use the screen game a lot, but I think they also use those as outs in the run game as well to give Gunner somewhere to go with the football in case the run game's not there.
Let's talk about defensively. And, again, you said it's been inconsistent, but we know this is not the defense that won back-to-back national championships. What do you think they're lacking, Chuck?
Yeah, I think it's obvious. I think it's something that we've talked about with our Falcons for a long time is pass rush, and that's weird coming from this Georgia defense where we're used to having the Jalen Walker come off the edge. We're used to having the Mykael Williams and the, you know, Jordan Davis of the world, and you just don't have that guy right now. You're still trying to figure out who that guy is. I think they got 5 sacks on the year right now. I remember the game versus Alabama. They tried zone pressure. They tried man pressure. They tried to rush forward. They tried to add with 5 or 6 and just could not get to Ty Simpson. So that's a big deal, is trying to find ways to create pressure for this defense. And I think that's kind of the biggest thing right now is you got these dudes in the SEC who can sling it. We saw Aguilar do it for Tennessee, sit back there and light you up. And, you know, everybody's talking about the secondary. Yeah, they're part of it too. But when you got time, it looks good. We saw versus Ty Simpson. He had a well of a day back there because they couldn't get to him. So he had plenty of time to sling it all over the yard too. So when you're playing against these style of quarterbacks who are gunslingers from the pocket that can hurt you in multiple ways, you got to get them off that spot. You got to move them. You got to hit them. And Georgia just hasn't been able to do that as of late.
I know we talk a lot as DJ Shockley joins us, guys, from Fox 5.
Fox 5.
Here on the WaitForIt.com hotline is, I mean, the Jimmys and Joes and the X's and O's. And are they going to develop or can you scheme it? Can you, I mean, is it, I mean, can Schumann burn all the midnight oil and they're still not going to get any better at this? Or how do you make it happen?
No, I think they can, man. I sit in there pregame. I sit in there halftime. I see them make the adjustments. I see them talk about everything under the sun. So they're very well prepared. They scheme up really good stuff. I mean, they know exactly what's happening. It just comes down to pure execution. And I'll be honest, they have, I mean, I heard them talk about certain stuff pregame and halftime about what teams are going to do when they line up in a certain formation, when they bring this motion, when this guy lines up here, this is the two plays you're going to get. The scheme is there. They're teaching them. They're developing them. These are some of the smartest coaches I've been around. It's just about execution in the game. It doesn't take but one thing for one guy to get his eyes out of the wrong spot or one of the D-linemen to take a wrong angle or take a wrong gap, and now you're out of a gap, and now here comes they're busting out a big 30, 40-yard run. Or similar to Tennessee, one guy was looking in the backfield, and you know his guy came right behind him when he should have been in the high hole. I mean, just little things like that within the ball game, I think, is what hurt them. They are definitely – taught to do the right thing, but they just got to go out and execute it. And lately, you know, they've had instances where they have done it and when they haven't.
Shock, let's talk about our Falcons, man. Shift gears. You guys do a great job of covering the Falcons. And bye week was, I guess it came at the right time, right? We needed AJ to get right. We needed, you know, some injuries. Some guys coming back. But we know it's not going to be easy with the Bills coming in here. You watched that Bills game last night, like a lot of Falcon fans, and you're going, okay, can we do what the Patriots did last night? Because you saw some vulnerability. But I think that the Bills will correct all those mistakes. They didn't play well last night, man.
Yeah, no doubt about it. That's what kind of scares you. Is, all right, you saw a little invincibility from the Bills, and like, man, you thought they were a team that's going to be hard to beat. But then you saw some stuff where you know they're going to be like, okay, we got to go back to the lab and try to clean up all these things heading into – the Monday Night Football game versus the Falcons, they're going to know that they can't do those same things. Because they're going to look on film and see, hey, this is a team that already had their moment where they were slapped in the face and they had to regroup and come back, and they won't be coming into the ball game feeling that same way. You saw times where they were able to get to Josh Allen or times where they forced him into some bad situations. It's going to be interesting to see, you know, what happens, but it's good to have those 2 weeks off for sure from last week where guys can refresh and recharge and then get back. But you're right. Getting some of those key guys back, like AJ, is going to be big because we saw Mike's got some Fowler, Steak have some big plays with my man Coleman making right. plays on the outside. So he's a big physical receiver on the outside. We definitely need our key guy back to kind of hold him down.
Well, we talked about, I mean, we drafted Pierce and Jalen Walker for a reason. So I know, obviously, everyone had a big breakout in Minnesota. Is this where they literally release the Hounds and the Vols, and these guys can be a difference maker trying to keep Josh from doing all those things you talked about?
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it. And, you know, one cool thing is we saw some of it, you know, early in the season where Jalen Walker was a spy, and he did a lot of that when he was at Georgia to run down these athletic quarterbacks. You're going to have to do some of that at times, but then also get times where you got to be like, all right, let's go get him. Because once he gets a full head of steam, we all know what Josh Allen is all about. But I think you got to mix it up from pre to post snap on what he can see, because he wants to throw the football down the field. That's going to be another part of it is kind of being really good on the second play. As we know, there's a first play to every situation, but Josh Allen is really crucial and hurts people with that second play ability. We got to be able to go get him for one, but also plaster on the back end. So, yeah, get those dudes rolling and ready to go and so we can get after them.
Shock, were you – I don't think you were, but surprised the way Michael Penix responded against the Commanders. I mean, he played terrible the week before and then comes back, man, and you would have never known. If you didn't watch that Carolina game, you would have been like, man. But that's his makeup, isn't it? Talk a little bit about that.
Oh, no doubt about it. I think you knew that from day one. I think – I heard him talk after the Panthers game, and you can see the disgust on his face. And knowing I've talked to Mike a few times, I've heard a lot of people talk about who he is and what he's about. You just knew he would respond the right way because he's that kind of competitor. He's that kind of dude that, okay, he gets knocked down, he's going to find a way to get back up and play a better ball game. I guarantee you he probably wanted to go back out and play that Monday after the game because he felt so bad. But I knew he would respond in a better way. He's a guy that – is used to winning. He's not used to being a guy who, you know, people talk about in that kind of manner. And I heard him say after the game, you know, yeah, it's not, I'm not listen to what's going on the outside noise, I disappointed myself. And that's the one biggest thing that can hurt me more than anything, that what anybody else can say on the outside is I got to prove it to myself, let alone somebody else on the outside.
It's a DJ Shockley with us, guys, former Bulldog, former Falcon on the WaitForIt.com hotline. I think Pitts is doing a great job. Matter of fact, I think, you know, the only thing Penix can probably do a little bit better job of is find Pitts, because I think he's been open. All that, all the conversations we've had, Shock, about what he is, what he isn't, he seems to be doing well. Does he need to be a bigger part of this offense, and that's on Zach Robinson?
Oh, no doubt about it. I mean, it don't matter who you put on Pitts, it's going to be a mismatch. And I think he's found a newfound something in him. And he's not just catching the football and going down. He's trying to make people pay after you catch the football. That's what you love, is the yak that's coming after it. And he has found some with Penix. And I know Penix has looked for him. I remember the first day at camp, we all was there. We heard him talking about it. Hey, y'all saw Penix get the ball. I think that is still part of what they want to do, is get him the football. And we've seen over, you know, this time that Penix has been the starter, that, you know, if he feels good about a guy, he's going to put him up the bat. We've seen that with Drake. Mm-hmm. Now we've seen it with Kyle. Hopefully he is a lot more a part of this offense, because he can create in multiple ways. And I like the way they're using him inside, outside, getting him in motion, splitting him out. I mean, there's so many variations of the concept that they're using to get him open that's making it really, really valuable for this offense.
Hey, Shock, before we cut you loose, just want to bring it back to college for one sec, because you played at the position and so much was expected. And again, it's not like it's being defined by one season, but talk about Arch Manning. It seems like he's doing some good things, but yet he seems like he's missing. What's your evaluation where he is right now?
Yeah, I think it's that mixed bag for Arch. I think you look at some of the big games that he played, obviously the Ohio State game and his last Florida game, you can see some misses where he wants to pull the trigger, and it's been a little hesitant as well. And, I mean, he's only completed 60% of his passes, so that tells you he's had a lot that's been off. He hasn't been on his game when it comes to that. And I think the running game and pass game, they're kind of mediocre right now. You look at the numbers, they're 9th and 10th in rush and pass, so they're, you know, near the bottom of the SEC in all those different categories. So they got to try to get the run game going for them. Last week, I think, for Florida, they rushed for like 50 yards. That's going to be hard on anybody for quarterback. And for a quarterback to have a good run game, that's what you need. But Arch definitely is kind of living through some tough times right now in the SEC. That's only going to get harder for them. They got to figure out a way to get him some easier throws, but also it looks like he lost a little confidence, too, throwing the football.
Great stuff as always. My man, DJ Shockley, appreciate you stopping by, bro. We'll see you up there this week.
All right, fellas. Appreciate y'all. Y'all cool. Be good.
You too. All right, guys. We got a lot more to dive into. Mike's got some guy talk, including the story everybody is talking about.
Yeah, what the heck is going on with Mark Sanchez? What are you doing in the alley behind the hotel? We'll get into all that. Plus, why is Grandma at the dirt track race in Tennessee taking a t-shirt shotgun, boom, at point-blank range? We'll explain in Guy Talk next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
Browns. You know
Browns
why fans. It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we all heard this story drop over the weekend. Mark Sanchez got stabbed in Indianapolis, and you're like, okay, what happened? You know, initial reaction is, oh, somebody got him. You know, is it a street thing? Was it a crime? Meanwhile, some people immediately, and one thing that Carl and I have learned over the years is you don't react immediately. You kind of let things kind of find an equilibrium. Maybe you get some more information before you hit send.
Yep.
A guy getting crushed, Dan Dockich. Bobby Knight, apologist, longtime basketball coach and broadcaster, immediately plays the race card and says that there's all sorts of bad people running around Indianapolis, and that's who got Sanchez. And, of course, that was not the case.
Mm.
Now we find out, as more and more video is being released, and you see a video of Mark Sanchez wearing jeans, looks like a polo shirt, and you can see he's clearly got a stab wound. He's bleeding from his shirt. Some grainy video from the hotel has been released. It's a truck driver whose job is to pick up the grease from the kitchen. He's a grease truck driver. Not a great job. Didn't need Mark Sanchez wandering into the alley between the hotel. It's funny because you and I were talking about this off the air. Actually, stay at this hotel, know exactly where it is, 2 years ago for the Indy 500 with the dude and with Don. So I didn't know how you could even get to where Mark Sanchez is. It would require a little bit of effort to get to the loading dock. Anyway, Perry Toole, 69 years of age, just minding his own business, somehow gets into an altercation with Mark Sanchez, who is clearly, based on eyewitness accounts, not in his right state of mind. Now, is he inebriated? Is he on some other kind of hallucinogenic? Everyone's speculating. We won't speculate because, as Carl said, there's allegations. But one thing for certain, the district attorney in Indianapolis says it's a battery charge against Mark Sanchez, upgraded to a felony, and it carries anywhere to 5 to 6 years in jail. So he's lawyered up with a local law firm in Indianapolis. We are literally talking about people fighting about a parking spot. Marion County Prosecutor Ryan Mears said during a news conference earlier today, they add a level 5 felony, resulting in seriously bodily injury to the driver. Now, whether or not the driver who initially pepper sprayed Mark Sanchez in self-defense and then pulled the knife, and Mark Sanchez somehow got his hands on the knife, or the wounds are as a result of Mark Sanchez throwing the driver on the ground, the guy's face is pretty jacked up. You've seen the video.
Yes, it's not cool. First of all, understand this. Mark Sanchez didn't have his Maserati that he was pulling in the back of this alleyway, and this guy was blocking him. There was no car for Mark Sanchez. So why is there even a dispute over a parking spot?
Apparently, according to witnesses, and this is from the Indianapolis Star, Sanchez is ranting about you can't park there.
Okay, so he works for the hotel now.
And that's immediately what people said. So what the hell are you doing? Appeared intoxicated, instigated the altercation, who was parking in a loading bay in the alleyway while getting grease from restaurants, which are right next to the hotel. He got significant injuries. You've already seen the, if you haven't seen the photo, it's out there. Authorities say Sanchez turned his own knife on him, stabbing the truck driver through the cheek and cutting his tongue. He's, again, he'll require plastic surgery. He's been grossly disfigured. So people are beginning to, and again, it doesn't take a rocket science to look at this and say, okay, what the hell was Mark Sanchez on? What is his defense going to be? Somebody put a roofie in his drink? I mean, I said to Carl earlier, I don't know. I didn't know you could get bath salts as a floater at the hotel bar.
That's crazy.
Because that's what it sounds like. You know, when you hear about people that are like in an altered state and they're seeing things and they're taking people as threats to them and they go off and do crazy, dangerous things.
Yeah, I just, first of all, this happened after midnight.
Yep.
What are you doing there? You're there to call a game for Fox. Now, I'm not going to put, you know, limiters on anybody, but I'm going to tell you, I've been to Indianapolis more times than I can count. There's not a lot going on after midnight, okay? Most of these bars, even the hotel bars, are closed. Like, what are you doing in the back alley and then telling somebody who's probably done this a million times, this is probably why this altercation started. He probably said something to this dude, and the dude's like, man, I pick up grease here all the time. Get out of my face. Right. Like, what are you talking about? This is what I do every day. You can't park here. And all of a sudden, it leads to this. This is the most curious thing, Mike. It's very suspicious to me about why he was there at that time of night and what was going on. And now, by the way, you've got to explain this all to your employer, which is Fox, okay? So he was there to call the Colts game.
Right.
And I just, I don't know what the excuse is, but I cannot wait to hear what the reasoning behind
right.
this was.
And as I said, guys, I mean, because it's, you know, social, we live in a world with social media, everybody's Columbo now. He was gone. It was a drug deal. This guy was blowing his. He was blowing the drug deal. This guy's in the way. Well, I again, you want to? You were there. I don't know. All we know is what's been said by eyewitnesses. The Indianapolis Star has this. I've sent the link to a couple guys. He asked, "What do you know?"
Who are you?
I'm Batman.
He approaches the driver to get him to move, gets in a fight with a guy, body slams this 69-year-old guy to the wall.
For what?
The driver sprays him with pepper spray. Driver tells the cops, I fear for my life. He pulls a knife. Sanchez apparently gets the knife out of his hand, stabs him in the face. Sanchez turns around, heads up the alley. When they finally get to Sanchez at the emergency room, totally unresponsive, only remembers grabbing for a window, doesn't know what, where, how he got there. Basically, Sanchez doesn't remember anything.
Well, at least he didn't say, I got robbed.
Right. So Sanchez...
That would have been the other part about this, because we've seen that.
Right, to his chest, right side of the chest. He's arrested at the hospital, charged with misdemeanor counts of battery, resulting from an injury, intoxication, unlawful entry of the motor vehicle. Apparently, getting the guy's truck.
Yeah, crazy.
And then now he's discharged from the hospital Sunday, transferred to a central booking.
Where was he going to take degrees somewhere? I mean, seriously.
And then as we said today, police and the prosecutor said, okay, now it's level 5 felony battery. Meanwhile, New York Post, amazing how these guys get this stuff immediately. This guy's lawyered up. And he's now suing. He's already got the lawsuit in place. This guy's going to make some serious loot. Whatever Sanchez got left, he's going to get it.
Well, Mike, I mean, if that was you or I mean, we'd be doing the same thing.
And the guy's messed up.
And here's the deal. At the end of the day, I hate to say it, he's not suing Sanchez. He's about to sue Fox. He's about to sue Fox. I'm telling you what's about to happen.
All y'all.
Yes, because, you know, this is why he was there. He was there to do a game, and your employer, blah, blah, blah. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. But, man, this is one of the craziest stories. And I said to you earlier, when I got up Sunday morning, I was like, man, he got somebody got him. Like, he got robbed, and that's crazy. And then the information started coming out, because the only thing that came out immediately was Sanchez had been stabbed.
Right.
And so when you saw that, it was like, oh, okay, well, somebody stabbed him. That means somebody probably was fighting for his life. And you had some sympathy, at least, for the situation. Not now. Mike, after finding out what the police are now reporting, that I have zero. What are you doing trying to pull this dude out of his truck?
It's the Marriott downtown Indianapolis. And again, their version of, like, you know, like an entertainment district. There's bars and restaurants. That place Kilroy's is right down the street. A million, you know, and it's a big active scene. That's why I'm saying it's like,
it is.
I don't know, what would you be? You would have to be on some kind of, as I said, mind-altering substance to get yourself into that situation. So as Carl would say,
the developing story.
All right, speaking of lawsuits, have you been shot with a t-shirt cannon at point-blank range through no fault of your own?
Speaking of suing.
Mildred Tucker, now I don't know how much money the Weber Valley Speedway is worth in Cecilia, Tennessee.
Touch me, I'll sue.
It's about, as best I could tell from MapQuest, about 100 miles northeast of Nashville, south of the Kentucky border. Mildred was enjoying the dirt track racing with her family, it looks like. She takes a direct hit from a t-shirt cannon. Now, for whatever reason, the t-shirt cannon guy, now I don't know if Mildred's had a few too, but apparently you can lose an eye with a t-shirt gun. And I know years ago when I was working doing PA for free, when Salsa said, would you like to do public address for the Georgia Force? How much does this pay? We'll give you Maggiano gift cards.
Okay.
It's my old boss who now works with the Hawks. I'm like, oh, that sounds great. So one night they gave us the t-shirt gun. And you'd have thought they handed me an AK-47. And the guy's like, now you've got a minimal distance is at least 15 yards. I'm like, okay.
Because so this thing's strong.
It's strong. It's got air powers.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, got it. So aim, got it, at an angle. Don't shoot the t-shirt gun directly at anyone. So anyway, apparently, if you hadn't seen the video of this, the good old boy who's got the t-shirt gun is just standing right in front of her. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's not like there's anybody in this event. There's like 15 people watching the race. And I don't know if he's like, well, she's like, well, go ahead and shoot that shirt gun. Give it to me. And I don't know, because there's no audio I can make out.
Me neither.
But it's like, you sure, ma'am? Go ahead, hit me. Are you sure? Sock it to me. Boom. And she goes ass over tea kettle.
She's flying.
Have you seen the video? Google Grandma God. T-shirt gun, Tennessee.
Yeah, Mildred was hurt.
Yeah, Mildred just, I mean, she goes down. Like, she looked like she got hit with a bazooka.
Yeah, she did.
It almost looks like this. Remember the scene in Django Unchained? When he says, say goodbye to Miss So-and-so. Boom. And then she like gets blown out of the ballroom. That's what it looks like when Mildred with the t-shirt gun.
I saw this earlier. I couldn't stop laughing because I felt so bad for her, Mike. I was like, she's got to be hurt. She's got to be hurt.
So, I mean, she literally goes, boom. Anyway, go take a look and hit me back at Mike Bell, A. Taylor, put him up, C. Dukes. Over the weekend, Gronkowski, struggling with names. So again, I've pronounced Nico Iamala. I butchered that name 7 ways to Sunday the last 2 years. Here he is taking a stab at one of the hot new wide receivers playing for Tampa Bay.
Baker Mayfield also did it without his number one wide receiver, Mike Evans. And you got to give credit to this rookie sensation wide receiver out of Ohio State, Emeka Egbigbu, going for over 100 yards. Emeka Ebuka. I'm getting to...
Big Boo? Big Boo? Emeka Egbuka. Now, it's funny because you and I talked about it with Rick Stroud. This guy's going to be a star, and he already is showing out. And this guy's just making plays left and right.
Big Boo.
All right, man. Normally we do balls, no balls. There would obviously be no balls for the Arizona Cardinals, who are up 21-6. They're about to go up 28-6. I just don't know why this is still a thing in the NFL. It's occasionally a thing in college where a player decides he's going to drop the football the millisecond he crosses the plane of the goal line.
Makes no sense.
It started, you got to go all the way back to like the late 90s. We saw this, we were like, what the hell was going on? I think it was, who was it? For the Eagles. Anyway, but we've seen it before. Well, if you didn't see this, people are absolutely losing their minds. And now the video, and this is going to be interesting to see what happens with the Arizona Cardinals head coach, because did you see him confront the player who drops the football? Because now he's screaming at him. Guys are in this guy's face. One player looks like he's being consoled. And then the coach comes up and just, what the blank are you doing? And as he walks by, he just kind of like throws his arm into him. Talking about Jonathan Gannon hitting Amari DeMarcado. So DeMarcado's got a 78-yard touchdown. It's money in the bank. And he drops it at the line. And now people are saying the NFL may investigate Jonathan Gannon because the Players Association is going to make a beef on it.
Well, look, and this is the thing. You are on the sidelines. Everybody's watching. Gannon obviously knows, like, these games, guys, they've lost a couple of games like this. Not with a guy basically dropping the ball in the end zone. But, Mike, they've lost two close games that they should have won. And Kyler Murray said it. It's like how to lose 101. We're finding ways to lose games.
Right.
Gannon lost his blank. And I thought, was it over the top? I don't know. We are talking about football. We are talking about, you know, men making mistakes. And you guys get cut for stuff like this.
This isn't college. This is professional football.
That's right.
I had a laugh. I had a guy I saw on Twitter. I got on some chain. And the guy said, he needs to be coached up better. Coached up better.
No.
How about personal responsibility and common sense? Either way, Players Association may look into this. Day-Day just said in my ear, DeSean Jackson.
That's right.
Was the first time I think we ever saw this at the professional level, other than maybe the Jim Marshall wrong way touchdown run back in the 70s. They was like, what are you doing, you big dummy? But wait, there's more. So that would have been 28-6. They're blowing doors on a team which their own quarterback said was highest just a week ago. Then you get the deflection, interception, fumble, kicked into the end zone recovery for the. It's like the most incredible way for the Arizona Cardinals to lose this game.
Yeah, that's, and I'm saying this because they're 2-3 on the year. Literally, they should have four or five wins under their belt.
Right.
They lost to the Seahawks 23-20. Lost to the Titans 22-21. Back-to-back games. And, Mike, they lost. I didn't even realize this. They lost to the 49ers 16-15. You've had three games that have been decided by less than 3 points and a possession that basically they have blown to give the game away.
Unbelievable. And we talk about Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray gets the ball snapped into his face mask, falls down,
he did.
Walks off the field. They're saying it's concussion on TV, then he comes back. No idea what's going on. Hey, we'll talk more about this tomorrow, but October 7th, LeBron's doing it. Is it a decision? Is he going to announce his retirement? Is it a marketing thing? What's going on with LeBron? You got any insight?
No, I don't. They're calling it the decision too, and they give this vague, like he's walking to sit down like he did with the decision, for those who remember, I think it was 2010. But you can't see who the announcer is, who the broadcaster
who this guy is,
who he's talking to. So I'm with Mike. This could be certainly just a big promotional thing.
Hey, man, that's your guy talk.
All right, man. This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get your guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. Falcon Report's on the way. We're getting ready for the Bills. Did you watch them last night? And what did the Patriots do that we can take advantage of? Also in the 5 o'clock hour, guys, more college football conversation. It was a crazy weekend. And now the polls are upside down. George is getting ready for Auburn. Stay right there.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.